Good evening, gentlemen. We're going to continue with Ksubas, and starting on the bottom of Daf Vav and Beis, and continuing on to Zayin Amud Aleph. Before we begin, I just wanted to share with you a thought that I heard this past Friday on the Parsha Vayechi. The Pasuk says that when Yaakov blessed Yehuda, he said, Yadcha ba'oref oivecha, your hand is on the neck of your enemies. And one of the Baalei Tosfos says in his explanation, he quotes a Medrash, and he expands upon it a little bit. The Medrash says that Yaakov is referencing the fact that Yehuda was the one who killed Esav. The incident was that when the brothers were burying Yitzchak, Esav was holding up the proceedings in some way, and it seemed like Esav was going to start getting violent with the other brothers. And Yehuda, when Esav's back was turned, came up behind him and hit him somehow on the back, struck him on the back of the head and killed him. And so Yaakov is referencing this incident. And the Baalei Tosfos say that the reason that Yehuda killed Esav from the back was because of the fact that Esav and Yaakov's faces were similar, it would be disrespectful to Yaakov if Yehuda killed him from the front. The statement on the surface seems a bit puzzling, because what disrespect is there to Yaakov when Yehuda kills Esav? Assuming the decision was the correct one, Yehuda felt that there was no other way to get out of their predicament than by killing Esav. As we know, the rule is Habala Hagacha Hashkim Lahargo. One who comes to kill you, you should rise up to kill him first. Make a point of getting in before him, before he has an opportunity even to kill you at all. There's no need to wait for him to attempt. If you know that's his intention, you're supposed to kill him right away. So Yehuda did that. And Yehuda clearly felt that that was the correct Das Torah decision at that moment. That was what Hashem wanted him to do. So what difference is there if it's the front, it's the back? Somebody's trying to kill us, we have to kill them first. It's an emergency, it's dangerous. However, it seems there was some level of disrespect, says the Baalei Tosfos, to Yaakov, if Yehuda would kill Esav from the front. And perhaps we can deduce from here that Yehuda killing someone who looked just like his father would have signified a certain lacking on Yehuda's part of respect for his father. How could a person bring himself, even if it was necessary, to pull the trigger on a man who looked just like his own father? Even if he was prepared to do it, and it was all according to halacha, it was all exactly the proper thing to do. But when push comes to shove, killing someone who looks just like your father is going to feel like it's killing your father, and to do that is such a... How could a person bring himself to do something that looks even or feels like killing one's own father? It has to be that the person's lacking some level of respect for that person, for their father. And therefore Yehuda felt he had to do it from the back. Interesting to note is the feeling, the hargasha that Yehuda would have had. Not that he wouldn't have done it, but to do so would have meant that on some level he's lacking a certain element of respect for Yaakov. And I think if we take it a step further, we will realize that Yehuda was prepared to do it. And if Yehuda would have done it, and the only way to kill Esav was to do it from the front, dare we suggest that Yehuda would not have killed Esav? That would be a preposterous thing to say. Presumably, Yehuda would have done it anyways, but this was the better way. So obviously, it wasn't as if Yehuda actually felt a certain lacking of feeling of respect for Yaakov, because doing it from the front, he would have done it anyways, and we have no reason to assume that Yehuda had any lack of respect for Yaakov. Rather, it must be that it would have somehow symbolically shown, because of the fact that killing someone would feel like killing one's own father, if it looked so much like his own father, that symbolism and the reason that it's important is something that we have to keep in mind. And what I think is even more significant that we see from the Baalei Tosfos is that often when we're doing something huge, something majorly significant, we tend to become a little bit not detail oriented. We forget about all the little things that have to go on because we become so preoccupied, so consumed with the largeness of what we're doing, whatever the action may be. When it comes to something that huge, such as saving a life or doing a tremendous chesed for someone else, especially when a huge amount of mesiras nefesh is involved, we tend to overlook the little things. But just because we're doing some kind of a huge, huge act of kindness or mitzvah or anything doesn't give us the right to trespass on anybody else's feelings or any other wrong that we might otherwise violate. When Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was at a house of a guest, he was offered to wash for bread. And he did so using the absolute minimum amount of water he could possibly get away with, still halachically having washed correctly. Afterwards, the students asked him, Rebbe, why do that? Why not wash with as much water as you want so that you're washing in the ideal way, not just scraping by with the bare minimum halachically? And Rebbe Yisrael answered, with his typical sensitivity, that if he had used any more water, it would have necessitated an additional trip by the maid down to the well to bring even more water up. And on her account, he wasn't going to do what was halachically ideal. Be'eron l'chaveru is not less important than be'eron l'makom. And similarly, when we're doing the right thing should be our focus. Not the action itself, as if the action has taken on a life of its own, but rather a humble recognition that we're only doing it because this is what Hashem wants us to do, and that we believe this is what Hashem wants us to do right now. And involved in that, included in that, is a recognition that Hashem wants us to do it in the proper way. And therefore Yehuda, that tremendous, tremendous tzaddik, was not going to simply do what was necessary for him at that moment, killing Esav, something which could certainly have led him to be preoccupied and not realize that exactly whether he kills Esav from the front or the back really makes a difference and really has any significance. But rather, he was compelled by the fact that that was what God wanted him to do. And God wanted him to not kill Esav from the front, if it was possible, but rather to kill him from the back. And seeing that opportunity, Yehuda seized it and did the Ratzon Hashem in the best possible way. A tremendous, tremendous lesson for us when we go about our daily lives. That being said, let us turn our attention to Ksubas at the bottom of Dav Vav Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, Mesiv Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami asked from a Braisa. Now at this point we are still continuing the discussion. Is it Mutter or Usur for Chassan and Kal to be together for the first time on Shabbos? And for the most part, that discussion circles around whether or not the act of having relations, the breaking of the hymen, is itself an Isser Shabbos, is it a malacha or not. So now Rabbi Ami is going to attempt to bring a proof from this case of Mathis Mursa. The Gemara says, Mesa Rabbi Ami Hamathis Mursa b'Shabbos, one who pops a pimple on Shabbos, in La'asos L'Peh, if he's doing it to make a mouth, so to speak, to make an aperture in the pimple, chayev, then he's obligated, he is chayev for the malacha on Shabbos. Vim lehotim yimen alecha, but if it is to remove from it any moisture, any pus that is stored in the pimple, pater, then he would be pater. And presumably, and Rashi's explanation is going to bear this out, the problem is it a davar she'eino miskaven or not? If his kavana is to do an action which is inherently a malacha, then he will be chayev. But if not, since we know that Reb Shimon Matur is davar she'eino miskaven, we can say that that's why he's pater in this case. And in fact, really, Reb Yehuda, who is the dissident, of Reb Shimon, the one who argues with him, even though he himself holds davar she'eino miskaven is Aser, he doesn't hold its chayv, he holds it as pater. So really this Mishnah could actually be in every opinion. Rashi says, Hamapas Mursa, Haposeach Peh Nafach, Shekorin Klug. One who opens the mouth of a pimple, which is called klug in French, or Rashi's French. Im la'asos la'peh, if it was done to open, to create an opening, to create a mouth, shemiskavin li'aposa, he has in mind to better it, to make it look nicer. V'liyos la'pesach, zeh li'omachan, to then have this opening for a different day. And Rashi is trying to explain why it is that if you're doing it, what exactly is the malacha of Shabbos? What exactly is the how do we understand this case? How do we view it? So Rashi's telling us that if you're doing a lasos lapeh, you're chayav because you're making the doorway. You're chayav because of bona, you're building. As Rashi says in the following Rashi, chayav shu masakein pesach, he's fixing a door with the chayav mishum bona, and he's obligated because of the malacha of bona, building. The ashkechon binyan b'balei chayim, and we do know there's a concept of building when it comes to life. People d'chsiva even as hatzela. And he quotes some pasuk in Bereishis where it says that Hashem built the rib, so to speak. So we see that there's a concept of building when it comes to live people or animals. It's interesting to note that Rashi only mentions this idea of binyan b'balei chayim now and above on the days when we've been dealing with the idea of bona by live people for over a block. At the very least, Hayom HaBeis, we discussed it. And presumably, when we were discussing the Isser of Chasan and Kala being together on Shabbos for the first time, even before that, the malacha was bona. But that's not a question that's within the scope of our discussion. If you'll note, before the word da'ashkechon, there's that little symbol that directs you to the Gilyan HaShas or the Kiva Eger. He references Shabbos Tzadi Hei Amad Aleph. That Gilyan HaShas is always a cryptic reference to something. Rarely does in the Gilyan HaShas does Rabbi Kiva Eger elaborate. And it's unclear what exactly is motivating him. It may have nothing to do with the question that we raised. But perhaps it does. So perhaps Shabbos Tzadi Hei Amad Aleph is where to find the answer to this question. In any event, Rashi then says on the next top of the next page, Pater, V'kaimalon, Pater u'mutter. And we pass that it's Pater and Mutter l'chatchila. That one is permitted to go ahead and do this. Even if you would ask us, am I allowed to do this beforehand, we would tell him yes. B'yitzir Shabbos, in the parak of B'yitzir Shabbos. And Rashi spells out for us, Kasha l'manda asar. It's a question according to the one who said Chasan and Kala having relations on Shabbos for the first time is Aser. That case was also in order to remove the blood. So it seems like a pretty solid parallel. In that instance, a person is quote unquote popping a hymen in order to remove the blood. And in this instance, he's popping a pimple in order to remove the pus. So if a person is pater and mutter when he removes the pus, it should be the same halacha and mutter for a chazan akala on Shabbos. So how is the one who says aser going to reckon with this brisa that we brought down? Let's take a look at Tosus real quick. The second to bottom Tosus on Vavam Bebei is in la asos la peh chayiv. Tosus gives the rendering of why exactly one is chayav in this case. The Pesach zeh asui lahachnes lahotzi. This door is made to enter and to exit. Lahachnes avir, to bring air, and you want to air out that area of skin and sort of get air to where there was none before. Lahotzi lecha, and to remove any moisture. So it seems like Tosus is bothered. The next step, v'in lohotzi mimena lecha, seems to be the same thing as la'asos la'peh. We're assigning two different directives, two different intentions to this one action, and saying that if you have one intention, it's chayav, and if you have the other, it's pater. But really, Tosus says they seem to be the same, one and the same. So Tosus is explaining that there's an additional gain by la'asos la'peh. Your goal is to make a pesach, to make a doorway which can be entered and exited through. Whereas, if you're just trying to remove the pus, it's not a function of a doorway. You want the pus to get out any way you can. It has nothing to do with creating a doorway that will exist in the future. As Rashi himself said, Rashi used the word lamachar, you're creating a doorway that you want to exist even tomorrow. You want it to look nicer. You want the pimple to cease to exist. If somehow there was some way to magically remove the pus without opening the pimple, that would be okay. as far as the intentions of the person who's lo tzimim alecha. But of course, lasos lapet doesn't want to just magically remove the pus. He wants to create a hole, to create an opening. So it seems to be a question on the one who holds that it's also for the chassid and kal to be together for the first time on Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, hasam pakid vakir, over there in the case of lecha, the pus is detached and standing and uprooted. Haka pakid v'lokir, but here it is detached and not uprooted. In other words, the blood in the kala is still somewhat absorbed in the skin, like the rest of the blood in the body, whereas by the case of the pimple, the pus is not totally uprooted. It is totally uprooted and it's ready to come out. However, by the woman, the blood is somewhat detached, but it's not the same level of detachment. It's still somewhat like the rest of the blood in the body, and therefore, in that instance, it's still possible to argue that that should be a case for your chayiv in any event, because you're causing a real chabura. And therefore, the one who says asur could potentially defend from this attack. The Gemara now goes on to quote various opinions, various Amorayim, who had opinions about whether or not it's mutter for the chassan and kal to be together for the first time on Friday night. Rabbi Ami shar lemivol b'tchila b'Shabbos. Rabbi Ami permitted being together for the first time on Shabbos. Ami the Rabbanan said to him, v'halo k'sivo k'sivasa. But isn't there no k'suba written? In other words, if they get married late Friday afternoon, unless there's a k'suba beforehand, and a k'suba can't be dated properly until the actual wedding, a chazan and kala are not allowed to be together at all. So Amar Luhi said to them, Atvesu mitatlin. In such a case as this, where it happens on Friday night, and they just get married right then, she can grab mitatlin and keep it under her possession. Mitatlin refers to any possessions that in this case are of the chassans, and those possessions will serve her as a collateral until she's able to write a proper k'suba. Says Rashi, Atasul Matatali, Tinula Matatul and Tachas Yada. Give her some Matatul and some possessions that she can keep in her possession, Bimashkon, as a collateral, Lishibut Ksubasa, as a lien for her Ksuba, Ashikhtu Shtar Ksubasa Bashibut Karkaz, until they write the actual Shtar, the actual document, which will serve as a lien on his lands, in the event of a divorce. The Gemara then says, Rav Zvid, Shar Lemivol B'Tchila B'Shabbos. Rav Zvid did allow Chazan and Kala to be together for the first time on Shabbos. Yigit Amre, Rav Zvid, Gufei Bal B'Tchila B'Shabbos. That Rav Zvid himself was together with his wife for the first time on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda, Shar Lemivol B'Tchila B'Yamtif. Rav Yehuda, the Amor Rav Yehuda, permitted beer for the first time if it's on Yamtif. And especially since we said earlier in the Masechta that the time that a basula is supposed to get married is on Wednesday night, yeah, it's certainly understandable, as we know often, Wednesday night can be a yomtiv. Amar Rav Pavi Mishmei Derava, and Rav Pavi Mishmei Derava said about this statement, Lo tema b'yomtiv d'shari ha-b'shabbos aser, don't say that was Rav Yehuda said, it's mutter and yomtiv, but the fact that he specifically chose yomtiv is because of the fact that on Shabbos, it would be Asr. Tehu hadin da'afilu b'Shabbos na'mi shari. The same thing would be true that even on Shabbos, it would be Asr. It would be Mutter. U'maisa shahaya kachaya. And it happens to be that the incident that Rabbi Yehuda was discussing, where he permitted it, was a case where it was on Yom Tov. But of course, Rabbi Yehuda would have permitted it on Shabbos as well. Rav Papa b'shvei d'Rava, Amar Hava, Rav Papa, also in the name of Rava, argues with Rav Papi and says, B'yamtiv shari b'Shabbos aser. On Yamtiv it is permitted, but on Shabbos it would not be permitted. In fact, it would be aser. Amalei Rav Papi, Rav Papa. Rav Papi said to Rav Papa, "My daitech, what is your reasoning? What's your opinion?" And then he says to him, "Mitoch shehutru chaburu l'tzorech, hutru nami shelo l'tzorech." Are you going to tell me that it's because of the concept of mitocha, since it was matered chabura for quote unquote tzorach, therefore is also permitted for non tzorach cases? This idea that the Gemara is putting out in this instance as a reason for matering on Yom Tov and not Shabbos is based on the following concept. We know that on Yom Tov certain malachos are mutter. Those malachos are those which surround the preparation of food. It's permitted to cook on Yom Tov, it's permitted to shecht on Yom Tov if necessary in order to get meat. And since those malachos were permitted on Yom Tov, therefore they were permitted on Yom Tov even in cases where they weren't being done for food preparation. For example, if a person wants to perhaps to kill an animal, if he isn't doing it in order for eating purposes, but the animal is bothering him in some way, it might be mutter on Yom Tov. But the Gemara responds to this, but according to that, according to your reasoning, Mutir La'as is Mugmar B'yantiv. It would be permitted to do Mugmar on Yantiv. Mugmar is using some kind of a burning fragrance, some kind of an incense, to make clothes or pots or things of that nature smell better, I guess to remove a bad odor from them. But it requires burning something. And the Gemara explains that since burning was permitted for a case of need, as in cooking, one is permitted to burn to have a fire going in order to cook, so therefore it's also permitted not for a need. It's not necessary, it's not a requirement, it's not a need to have this fragrance going in order to have this fragrance burning in order to make clothing smell good and get rid of a bad smell. However, perhaps it should be mutter on Yom Tov also. And the Gemara is saying this sort of in a tone of surprise, as if to say, we know that such a thing would not be mutter on Yom Tov. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "My daitech l'mishri b'yom tov yosim b'shabbos." What is your opinion to permit this on Yom Tov more than on Shabbos, to permit b'ya on Yom Tov more than on Shabbos? Litzorech, ochel nafesh, for eating, kigon shchita, for example, shechting. Mugmar, besamim, it's the burning of spices, al ha'esh. Legamar, sakelim, v'yasa begadim, to make a nice fragrance in kelim and begadim. So the Gemara responds to this idea, alecha amar kra, about you, or sort of for you, did the pasuk say, Ach asher yachal l'chol nefesh. The pasuk in giving this heter for Yom Tov says that, however, you're allowed to do that which is required for eating. And we darshan the words l'chol nefesh, davar hashav l'chol nefesh. It has to be something which is equally required by all people. Something which one person requires and most people do not is not something which would somebody, for example, who has specific dietary needs and a certain malacha needs to be done for him to meet those dietary needs. That would not be something which would be mutter on Yom Tov. Now, of course, if those dietary needs are something which, if he doesn't eat it, he will fall into ill health, that, of course, would be mutter even potentially on Shabbos, if necessary, because such a case could fall into the category of pikuach nefesh. But barring that, a person who has dietary needs which aren't tremendously life-threatening would not be enough of a reason to mutter on Yom Tov if it wasn't something which most people require. Says Rashi, that's when it's mutter. And the Gemara is explaining how the Gemara responded to the previous attack. Husband and wife being together is something which is equally required by everybody because necessary for the preservation of the species. Aval mugmar, however, mugmar, the burning of incense in order to make kelim and begadim smell nice, eino ela l'mefunakim. It's only for people who are very finicky and particular about their clothing or pots or so on. It's not something that even everybody would do. And therefore, that's why the pasuk is limiting this heter. Not only are things which are mutar yontif, does it have to be something which is for food? But even if it's a malacha which is not directly for food, it has to be something which is required by, if not all, then most people. Something which is equally required by all people. The Gemara continues, Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'rei de Rava said to Rav Ashi, Ela me'ata, but according to that reasoning, your interpretation of this idea, Acha she yachal l'chal nefesh, that is davar hashav l'chal nefesh, nizdamein lo tzvi b'yamtif, if a deer became available to a person on yamtif, hol v'yinashav l'chal nefesh, since eating venison is not something which is equally necessary for all people, Hachanami de asr l'meshchatei, it would be asr to shecht. And the implication is simple, that sounds ridiculous. If you're preparing venison for your yamtif meal, and involved in the preparation of that meat is the slaughtering of the deer, then of course a person should be allowed to do that on yamtif, because it's part of the food preparation process. So Amalei, he responds to him, Ano dover hatzorah l'chol nefesh kamina. I said something which is required by all people. Tzvi tzorah l'chol nefesh hud. Deer is in fact the need of all people, because even though people don't need to specifically eat deer more than cow or any other specific type of meat, but they do need to eat meat. That's a dietary need of all people, and even if theoretically a person could survive without meat, meat is a part of almost everybody's diet. And therefore, on the other hand, mugmer, he feels, is not. Now, something that's a little bit unclear here is what exactly was the response of Rav Acha b'rei de Rava to Rav Ashi, asking about the tzvi. It sounds like he's attacking the whole idea of mitoch. However, mitoch is something, the idea of mitoch, that malachos, which are mutar and yomtif for food preparation, are therefore also permitted for non-food purposes, is a relatively unchallenged rule throughout Shas. And in fact, if we look at the beginning of Tosas Mitoch Shocha Letzorech, Tosas says, Perish, Letzorech Ochol Nefesh, if it's for the need of food preparation, Hotronami Shelo Letzorech Ochol Nefesh, then it's also permitted for non-food needs. Ubavaji Letzorech Hanas Hayom, O Letzorech Kiyama Mitzvah B'yomtif. As long as it's some kind of a yomtif need, some either because there's some kind of ana that will result from it on that day, or some kind of a need of a mitzvah on yomtif. And then Tosas goes on to quote myriad examples all throughout Shas discussing the application of this principle, when it applies and when it does not apply. But it seems pretty clear that the existence of the principle is definite. And Tosas says, in Dibur HaMaschel, Ela Me'ata Yehi Mutter La'asas Mugmer B'yomtif, Tosas says, V'im Tomar, L'zidei Nami Tikshi. According to him, you would also have a question, V'chilo Sarva Da'arminan Mitoch? Would we not say that there is, in fact, a reason of Mitoch? And he quotes a case where there is, in fact, Mitoch, shown to be a reason of Beis Hillel. However, it's unclear exactly, even in Tosas' answer, Tosas says, V'yishlomar shayas over the time of the Beis Hillel, mishum dein erev otzah. He gives another reason for Beis Hillel, but he doesn't address the fact that there seem to be all sorts of examples of mitoch all throughout Shas. However, if we look a little bit later on in Tosfos, Tosfos says in the last line, V'od Yishlomar, that's an abbreviation that stands for V'od Yishlomar, Shahayah Sofer, he held at this step, Hutra Shalol Tzorech, if it's mutter not for the need of food preparation, V'lvachi Heidavar Haragil, as long as it's something which is regular, something which is ordinary and normal, a normal part of the of people's lives. That the idea of a chasan and kala having relations for the first time, that's not more common than the idea of mugmer, which is something that's the idea of using that fragrance to improve the smell of clothes or whatnot, is not more uncommon than in this case, and therefore that too. In other words, he thought that was the parameter of what's allowed to be hutra shalol tzorech. And therefore, perhaps Rav Ashi, we can say also that a step later, where Rav Acha b'rei de Rava attacks him about with the case of a deer,
Although deer is, of course, for the sake of eating, but deer isn't, eating deer is not a regular case. People do eat venison, but it's not part of the normal diet. And perhaps that was the way he was thinking, and that was why he was attacking that idea. But of course he knew that there was a concept of mitoch in general. It was only the application of mitoch in our case that was troubling him. The Gemara goes on to say, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Hor Rabbi Yochanan Betzaidan. Now we quote an Amor, we have quoted Amorim until this point who say it is mutter for Chazan and Kala to be together for the first time on Shabbos. Now we quote one that says that it's aser. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi said that Rabbi Yochanan used to teach in Tzaidan, that was the name of the place, aser livol betchil of Shabbos. That it's aser to be together for the first time on Shabbos. And the Lashon, the word that Rabbi Yochanan used, or the Gemara uses to describe Rabbi Yochanan's action, was hora, which literally means to teach, and is often a word associated with the idea of a psak, of a posek issuing a halacha. However, the Gemara seems to feel that it's a halacha which typically is used to signify heter. And yet here Rabbi Yochanan used it to say that it was aser. The Gemara asks, Sumiika hora l'iser? Do we ever have instances where the word hora, the idea of that kind of issuance of psak, is done l'iser? The Gemara answers in. Yes, we do have such examples. V'atanan. In this instance, the word v'atanan is not a question, but rather a proof. We learned in the Mishnah, Haru beis Hillel, shetehei nazir od sheva shanim acheros. Beis Hillel paskin, that she should be a nazir for 7 more years. This is a reference to the instance of Hilni Hamalka, who was the queen of Sheba. And she took upon herself to be a nazir for 7 years. However, the first time she did it, at the end of that Naziris, she found out that those 7 years had actually been done improperly. And Beis Hillel ruled that she had to be a Nazir for 7 more years because of the fact that she had made a vow that she was going to do it for 7 years and she had not yet fulfilled her vow. And in fact, that instance where her Naziris was fulfilled improperly happened twice. So she ended up having to be a Nazir for 21 years consecutively. The upshot of all this is that the Gemara sees an instance of the term hora being used to signify heter. V'inami, in another instance, ki hadatanya, like we learned in a brisa, chut hashedra shenifsak berubo, divrei Rabbi, that Rashi says that a case of an animal whose spine had been largely broken or separated, trefa, Rashi says. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Afilu Nikev. Rabbi Yaakov says, even if it only had a hole in it, that would also constitute the animal as a trefa. Ho Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov. And Rabbi Paskin taught like Rabbi Yaakov, and we know that Rabbi Yaakov in this instance is a more stringent opinion. He's a more usher opinion, and yet Rabbi is teaching that certain cases, which would ordinarily, according to his own opinion, have been mutter, according to Rabbi Yaakov's opinion, were usher, and we see he's using the term hora to signify that kind of a psak. Amar Rav Huna, in halacha k'Rabbi Yaakov. Rav Huna said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yaakov, and that was something that was just brought down on that particular brisa, which is not relevant to our sugya per se, but the Gemara brought it down because we were already discussing the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yaakov. Now we go back to quotes about our discussion from previous. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Masni Hachi. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak taught it as follows. Amar Rebevo. Rebevo said, Shaul Rabbi Shmuel ben Yaakov de min Tzur as Rabbi Yochanan b'Tzaidan. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Yaakov, who is from Tzur, asked Rabbi Yochanan in Tzaidan, V'anoshami, and I heard it, meaning the person telling us this is Rebevo, he's saying that he heard Rabbi Shmuel asking Rabbi Yochanan, Mahu livol b'tchilah b'Shabbos, v'omer le'aser. And he said to him, it's aser. V'hilchasa mutter livol b'tchilah b'Shabbos. However, the Gemara now concludes, Ravina and Ravashi, who compiled the Gemara together, conclude for our benefit, what exactly is the halacha? How do we paskin? We paskin, it's mutter livol b'tchilah b'Shabbos. And if we look at Tosfos, at the bottom, Tosfos just addresses one point which might have been bothering us. Although we were discussing, by and large, whether it's a malacha on Shabbos for the chasen to be together with the kala for the first time, We also discussed other reasons at points, one in particular, why it might be, if not usur, at least a good idea halachically to not have a wedding on Friday night, to not have the chasan and kala be together on Friday night, and also to not have the wedding party then. And those addresses this need, we mentioned the idea of a concern that maybe if the wedding is Friday night, that the person who's preparing the wedding may come upon realizing that there are guests he was unaware of, or because of his distractions and preparations for the wedding, he may not realize that Shabbos has started, and may come to shecht birds in order to chickens and whatever else are necessary for the wedding feast. And doing that would, of course, be a violation of Shabbos, which he's not allowed to do, but he'll have done it because he's distracted, and we're concerned that he may come to do that if the wedding is Friday night. Tosfos says, we're not concerned that he may come to slaughter a bird. And on this psak, we would rely on to make a suda on Shabbos. However, Tosfos does not tell us why it is that we're not concerned about Shema Yishchot Benof on Friday night. However, if we look at Hey Amar Aleph briefly, where the Gemara first mentioned the Gzera of Shema Yishchot Benof, we originally brought it in for a case where the wedding is going to be Matzei Shabbos. And we were trying to understand why should the wedding not be Matzei Shabbos. And we explained because the person may come in his distraction and his involvement in preparing the wedding feast to forget that, oh no, it's still Shabbos and I can't start shechting. He may come to shecht the bird on Shabbos. And the Gemara then said, based on that, Hashad also Salahi, but now that you have come to this, Erev Shabbos Nami, Gzera Shemi Yishchot Benof. On Friday night also, there's a concern about Shemi Yishchot Benof. However, it sounds like the Gemara was only bringing in that idea of Gzera Shemi Yishchot Benof, not because inherently we were really concerned about it, but because once that concern exists on Saturday night, we can apply the concern to Friday night, because in that instance we had a Tana who had said it was usur to get married on Friday night or Saturday night. But now they're proposing that it is in fact mutter to get married on Friday night. Perhaps we can say that we would no longer have jumped to the conclusion or to the idea that it is usur for a chasan to have a wedding feast on account of the potential shechting of birds that may happen on Shabbos. Because of the fact that we just came to two dots, we will hold it here for now. And we will continue with Amar Rabbi Chelbo at the bottom of Zion Lamed Aleph, which discusses Shabbat Brachos and a whole variety of different inyanim not related to Bia on Shabbos, when we convene the next time. Have a good week, everyone.